Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a rough Monday to be a Baltimore sports fan. Ravens are 1-3. John Harbaugh announced that
Go Terps, that
Nnamdi Matabike is out for the season. Declined to comment whether it could be a career-ending injury. Joining us now to try to make sense of it all is Jonas Schaefer, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. And Jonas, this team last year dug themselves out of an 0-2 hole, ended up winning the AFC North, but man, things feel really bleak right now with how bad the defense has looked and the injuries mounting. Is this team capable of digging out of a 1-3 hole?
I think it really just depends on what kind of hole the other teams in this division end up taking for themselves. We know Cincinnati's hole is comparably ugly. We know that the Browns is even more ugly. So it just comes down to, you know, what kind of shovel the Pittsburgh Steelers are working with. I think probably on paper, if we're being honest, like not a 3-1 team, but that's what their record shows. And the Ravens are the inverse of that. They've been, you know, probably better than a 1-3 team, just over on the balance of their season. But they are two games behind the Steelers, and they have a lot of catching up to do. And they don't have the benefit of the kind of roster strength that they've had in years past when they have made these comebacks. So it's very, very tough. I wouldn't say that this team is not fixable, but I do think we are approaching slowly and perhaps suddenly the point where it does feel like all is lost. You know, obviously it's hard to be optimistic when we don't know Lamar's status. It's hard to be optimistic when so many of the foundational pieces in the spine of this defense are probably not going to be playing for the next few weeks. And in Nnamdi's case, maybe for the next however many years. But it's definitely a tough spot. And you could probably say that like the next 2 weeks in the season are the not only the most pivotal of this 2025 campaign, but of, you know, John Harbaugh's entire coaching career.
Well, let's just focus on the defense, because I'm not sure. This feels worse to me than it any of these other, you know, slow starts. And we've seen them before, and we've chronicled week 8, week 9, week 10 of seasons. They've been horrible against the pass, and they can't stop you in zone, and they can't stop you in man. But at least they could stop the run. And I don't know, man. I think Matabike covered up a lot of warts. And you look at this edge group now. You look at even what's being asked of some rookies who are very green. Excuse the pun. And I don't know, Jonas. I think the world of Chuck Pagano, but like I don't know who could call plays right now with their personnel and have it hold up, especially when you're on the road against decent offenses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could look, if it doesn't look adequate Sunday against this Texans team that just allowed a sack to a Jeffrey Simmons in like 2.02 seconds.
Yeah.
Then I think we will be starting to, you know, raise it to a new level of DEFCON. But, you know, just, you know, before I hopped on with you guys, scrolling through Bill Barnwell's, you know, diagnosis of this team. And one of the eye popping stats that was in that was, I think the Ravens have sent 45 blitzes after quarterbacks through these four games, and they have zero pressures, which is just like, how bad do you have to be, or how badly schemed this stuff has to be, or how bad does the coverage have to be downfield so you're not to even bother these quarterbacks? Maybe it was a QB hit instead of a pressure.
Yeah, they definitely had some pressures, but yeah.
Every once in a while. But just it's inconceivable that like the co-leading sack guy is Davius Robinson, who's a pocket pusher, and the other co-leading guy is out for the year.
Yeah.
Mike Green's not doing anything. Adafa Owe's not doing anything. You know, maybe if they get some relief when Adisa Isaac comes back and he can give you some kind of change of pace. That's right, but I'm not really optimistic about that. I'm just kind of spitballing here. You know, it's just a tough situation. I mean, like, to your point about Nnamdi and Jim Travis Jones as well, like, those guys have given you the flexibility to play with white boxes, which would theoretically help this team in pass coverage. But now if you're having to play with more base personnel or dropping a safety into the box or playing with, you know, three off-ball linebackers, if they even have three competent off-ball linebackers, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
We're speaking to Jonas Schaefer, who covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Jonas, I haven't seen slash heard the John Harbaugh presser because it happened when we were on air, but just seeing some of these quotes and him calling out Todd Monken for some play calling, we really don't see John Harbaugh take those type of shots on guys on his staff. What did you make of John Harbaugh's comments on Monken?
I think it's probably an awareness that Todd can take it and Todd deserves it. You know, Todd's got pretty thick skin. He's been through the wars as a head coach at the college level and, you know, as a coordinator at the NFL level. I think Todd, I will be curious to see what level of honesty and soul searching we get from him on Thursday, considering, as you said, Tim, this is far, far afield from the typical John Harbaugh presser. You know, you get the acknowledgement that a certain play or a certain series could have been better with the veil of, like, yeah, you know, it would have been a good play call if it worked, but it didn't work. But for him to say, we had a good plan, only for that plan to be abandoned spectacularly, was definitely pretty eye-raising. So, you know, it was a surprising pivot somewhat, I guess you could say, because, you know, I asked Harbaugh yesterday about them being as pass-happy as they were in some of those obvious short yardage run situations. Yeah. He did take the more familiar tact of saying, you know, this is it didn't work, so it wasn't a good play, blah, blah, blah. But it was interesting today that there was just kind of reckoning with, we had a good plan, the plan went out the window, and now I'm going to tell you guys all about it.
But if I'm going to defend Monk, like, they've tried to run on early downs, right, against teams that maybe you could or couldn't. Like, I get it. Cleveland and Detroit are pretty good. But, like, that hasn't worked. And they went to the quick pass game and got Jonas Justice on the field more. And that worked a little bit till it didn't. But, like, if it's no Boom at left tackle and Rosengarten at right tackle and there's no Ricard, you know what I mean? Like, what's Monk supposed to – you know what I mean? So now Bateman's out because we're not throwing it deep. Like, I also feel like the walls are closing in on him, and some of this is personnel because we all wondered how they were replacing Patrick McCary, and the answer was, we'll just play young, cheap guards, and we'll go with Nopu as our swing guy. Like, is that might not be tenable.
No. And, you know, I was not able to make it back to the presser in time, so I'm talking to you guys from a Kansas City restaurant right now, but, you know, I was hoping that someone would have had the time to ask about Emory Jones, and I know he's not going to be a panacea in any way, but I just, you know, like every other person who's invested in this team's season, just curious to see what the other options are for those guys, because Voorhees did not have a good game. I think Vialele had another, you know, game where just the low lights are just all-time low lights.
Yeah.
Kind of all you can do is really shake your head there. You know, and obviously they drafted Emory Jones with the hope that he would be, you know, possibly a guy who could play swing tackle and be a better option for you than Joe Nukum was during the preseason and, you know, for stretches yesterday. But you're right. I mean, like the Pat Ricard of it all is definitely something that is lacking. You know, they've got pressured, feels like, on more play action dropbacks than they ever have because of just how good he has been at sealing that end and taking away that Watt or that Garrett or whoever that opposing team's top edge rusher is. And then just to say nothing, you know, what he gives them in short yards. And maybe they would be more willing to just run downhill if they had him in there, being able to take on the five tackle or whatever. So it's a tough situation. I mean, you know, their rushing success rate is just in the tank right now. And I know fans are going to look at Lamar's yards per carry, Derrick Henry's yards per carry, and say, well, why aren't you guys, you know, running more? Well, because they're getting like stuffed at a top five rate, at least they were coming into this game. So it really is a tough situation. And you throw all that with just like, you know, looking at some of the pressures from the game on Sunday, like the Ravens had some good plays called for Lamar, but he's choosing not to see the guys who are open. He's, you know, on the interception to Mark Andrews, it's first and 10. You can't go broke taking a profit, and there's Justice Hill open in the flat for like a, you know, 3 or 4 yard game. But he wants to take a chance with Mark Andrews. And this is right. You know, Lamar knows more about football than I ever do. But there were just a couple of plays where it's like, man, you have this team in a good spot. Let's not overextend ourselves. Let's not like run out our credit line this quickly. And Lamar just didn't seem to really trust what was happening in front of him. And I don't know if and when, you know, when he comes back, if the time off is going to do anything to help him reset, because you need these reps to kind of get a feel for where things are going.
He's Jonas Schaefer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, thanks
as always,
man. Safe
travels, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on. Have a great week.
You got it. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get back into the Mike Elias season-ending press conference, talking about his young core.
Throughput.
We're going to take your phone calls at 445-410-583-1057. But coming up next, we talked about the offensive issues. Well, the defense said, hold my beer, because there are issues galore on the defensive side of the football. Is this fixable? We'll tell you next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the fan.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about, the challenges. I mean, those are the challenges that you do face from time to time, and you know, it's tough in a game like this against a really good team on the road, but you know, you got to try to find a way to win anyway, and we've never made excuses for those kind of things, and the guys who are up there are going to play well, and we've got to find ways to put our guys in the best positions to execute play after play and play a winning football game. You know, that'll be our challenge.
That was John Harbaugh on his defensive depth being further compromised, because heading into the game, Broderick Washington, Travis Jones, Nnamdi Matabike all sidelined, and Kyle Van Noy. And during the game, Roquan Smith, Nate Wiggins, and Marlon Humphrey all left due to injury. Ian Rappaport has tweeted out that Marlon Humphrey, calf injury, expected to miss multiple weeks. Roquan Smith, grade 2 hamstring strain, expected to miss multiple weeks. And Harbs really didn't give too much of an update. Did mention Nnamdi Matabike, his season is over. Mm-hmm. But Jason, this defense last year through the first 10 weeks was one of, if not the worst defenses in all of football. Now they were able to steady things, changing out Kyle Hamilton, playing more deep safety, Eddie Jackson, Marcus Williams, they were removed from the defense in any capacity. You saw our Darius Washington get inserted, and the defense was one of the better units in all of football, weeks 11 through 18. But can they pull a rabbit out of the hat for a second straight year?
No. Not without Matabike. No. They're going to have trouble. Just, we talked about them trying to go from like 200 and 300 level classes to master thesis in terms of their defense. They'll be lucky to get to 200 and 300 level. It's going to be about zoning it up. They're going to have to be vanilla as hell. They're going to have to hope that somewhere along the way, somebody bats a pass in the air and it gets picked off, or it hits off somebody's helmet and they catch it, or you know, maybe one of those blitzes on third down forces the quarterback to throw the ball away and you get a punt that way, or a long field goal try. But their personnel is laughable at this point in time. They've allowed 133 points already. Okay, they've allowed one more point than the Dallas Cowboys, who played into an overtime yesterday.
Most in franchise history.
I'm just going to put this into context. They've allowed 133 points. The Houston Texans, who come here on Sunday, have allowed 51. Now we can say who's playing against whom and this or that. They've allowed 51. We've allowed 133. And another troubling sign. When you've got a broken defense, when you've got an embattled under fire coordinator, when you don't have pass rush, when you don't have playmakers, even though you got 9 million corners and safeties, none of them are really playmakers on the ball. And you're also second worst in the NFL in time of possession. You got big, big problems. Oh, and you're second worst in time of possession, and you're without your left tackle, and your right tackle's having a sophomore slump, and your fullback, nobody even knows when he's practicing again. And your quarterback's got a hammy? Okay.
I just keep going back to last year, and you just said it with Jonas. They were borderline historically bad in the first 10 weeks pass defense-wise, and their run defense, they were best in football. Now, of course, you can say, why run the football when you're getting chunk play after chunk play? But this defense, through the first four games, you can look at all the numbers. They aren't even in the top half in any category. Like, there's nothing they can hang their hat on. Third downs, they're 24th. Red zone, they're 28th. Yards per play, they're 26th. 32nd in points allowed. Like, rushing-wise, they're hard. Like,
fourth quarter, abject failure.
There is nothing where you're like, okay, like, they're deficient in so many areas, but you can hang. Like, there's nothing. There's nothing positive.
No, and you could, like, in the past, when they've been bad, like the end of Wink, you could say, oh, well, just stop playing all that man and zone it up and stop man blitzing like crazy. They're not blitzing a ton, and when they blitz it helps, but it's not a knockout blow by any stretch of the imagination, and it leaves those guys on the back end even more vulnerable. Like, again, we can just go back to what they did in the offseason to get a defense that was really bad for most of the year better. Developmental pass rusher, second round. Free safety, plug and play, but it's going to be a learning curve. Jair Alexander, injury reject for a lot of teams. You got him real cheap, late in the game. He was addition by subtraction to Green Bay. And a run third-rate run stuffer. Am I missing anything?
No.
Okay. Well, here we are.
Coming up at 4:45, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 410-583-1057. Can this Ravens defense be fixed this year? Also, we'll take your calls on the Orioles as well, because coming up next, we're going to hear more from Mike Elias, who him and interim manager Tony Mansellino had a season-ending press conference at the warehouse today. Mike Elias talks about his team's hitting struggles, the offense really struggling, where are the biggest holes in this team as we head into the offseason. And also, Cordell Woodland is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. He's everywhere, man. He's the hardest working guy in radio. He was at the warehouse. He was out at one winning drive. So we'll talk O's and Ravens with Cordell at 5. But coming up next, it's Mike.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Elias sound. Orioles season firmly in the rearview mirror.
Turn the page.
Their season came to an end yesterday in
the
Bronx.
Their season came to the end around May 22nd. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's true. Mike Elias and interim manager Tony Mansellino held an end-of-season press conference at the warehouse. We'll play some sound in a second. But We always give away stuff here on 105.7.
You're a giver, Bone. Bone gives till it hurts.
You call in now, and boy, we're giving you plenty of time in advance. 410-583-1057. On June 3rd, June 3rd at Jiffy Lube Live.
Be here before you know it. Sneak right up on you. This concert will sneak up on you.
If you're caller number 5, we're giving you 2 tickets to see MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, and Wiz Khalifa. Everybody, 410-583-1057. But Mike Elias.
Is my expression? My expression? connoting anything?
I was waiting for you.
Am I conveying anything with my face?
It is not the circle jerks. They're far from the circle jerks.
Where's Khalifa? I mean, whatever. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Okay. The other guy?
Oof. The other guy.
Oh.
Well, the Orioles offense, you pretty much get the same reaction. Oof.
The other guy.
Man. Orioles scored 195 runs in 53 games following the trade deadline. So August 1st through yesterday. That was worst in the majors. Here's Mike Elias on his team's hitting woes in 2025.
Yeah, when you have a season that misses the mark by this much, you know, there's a lot of on the list of what went wrong. But, you know, certainly that was amongst the most... I don't know if I want to say surprising, but
no, it wasn't kind surprising.
Of fundamental that a lot of our core drafted players that have formed the spine of not only this winning team the last few years, but the rebuild leading into it, most of them were hurt or had down years or stagnating in some form or fashion. And, you know, it's definitely concerning to watch, and concerning to watch it happen to a lot of them simultaneously. I mean, that was a big factor in our record. We have talked a lot with them individually about it. You know, they're all, I think all of us in the org, you know, there's a lot of soul searching and looking in the mirror and individually what could each of us done better to get a better result for the team. And that definitely applies to those guys. We've talked about it, we're formulating plans, and we're going to do everything that we can to kind of have them bounce back and get back on track. Very, very, very confident that that's going to happen.
Oh, sure, with this group,
and it's obviously a huge factor for the team next year. But the talent in those guys and the work ethic and the mindset points to optimism.
Grinders. Whatever.
He's confident he can get him to bounce back.
The guy who talked before him had all the answers to the test. No, our core is great. Leadership, outside leadership, kind of overrated. These guys are great leaders. They're wonderful leaders. We see it. You don't. And clearly it doesn't show for 3 hours when they're playing baseball at night. But behind closed doors, they're amazing. They're amazing. They're making corrections, and they're all getting better. And all the answers are within, Bone. And don't worry about it. We don't need to spend this billionaire's money. We'll just keep doing what we're doing. We'll be right eventually. Trust us.
Something you've brought up multiple times for a while now is maybe we've seen the high water mark for a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was 2023. Maybe that was the first half of 2024. And here's Mike Elias on if the message needs to change for these young hitters who have been in decline for well over a season now.
Yeah, it's a great question. It has brought a lot of success, but like I said, you know, you've got to adapt and evolve and adjust in this business. The competition's always changing. The landscape's always changing. That applies to players. That applies to front offices. That applies to player development people, coaches. And so we're certainly weighing that and addressing it. And are we going to do things exactly the same next year? Absolutely not.
But he raved about Mabry. He raved about Manzolino. He intimated that multiple members of this coaching staff could be back. So don't believe what your eyes told you. Don't believe the fact that 600 plate appearances at Colton Cowser still the worst major league hitter in the league against changeups and strikes out 40%+ of the time. Like, don't worry about Jackson Holliday's 690 OPS. Remember, I told you he wouldn't do what Frazier did. Don't worry about Adley, who doesn't hit when he catches. And he's a defensive catcher now. We're now building him as a defensive catcher, even though all those metrics are down the last 3 years, too. But don't go to StatCast and check it out. Just believe what we're telling you. It's just lie after spin after subterfuge. It's a shameful, crappy game of three-card Monty. Like, don't look over here, look over there. Oh, the pitching's the problem. No, don't. We got a core. No, don't focus on the core. Wait a minute. Everybody from Sagano to Laureano to Cedric Mullins to Westberg himself have said, we don't have alphas. We don't know how to lead. You got these two telling you, no, no, they're great leaders. They're developing as leaders. We'll be fine. I mean, okay.
There is a lot on Mike Elias's plate this offseason in terms
not
of
as
what
much
needs,
as you'd think.
In terms of what needs to be accomplished.
They're not going
to
hire a GM, and they're just going to give Mangelino the managing job. There's not that much.
There's a lot personnel-wise that
really?
Needs to be
they
done.
Really? They got a great core. What are you talking about?
Yes. Well, Mike, what are the holes in your
holes?
Team?
I think that's going to be a dialogue publicly, hot stove, and you know, as we see each other at the GM meetings and the winter meetings, we'll talk about that in all detail. I don't like to use this press conference right after the season to start breaking down the roster. I think a lot of us a lot of you that follow the team closely probably have some really good ideas, and they're probably really similar to mine.
We got great ideas. You never listen to them. That's why you suck.
I look forward to kind of having that whole conversation and all that activity out in public the next several weeks and months.
He loves
playing
it close
to the vest. What did he say before? I already forgot my new favorite word. What was it? Through. We got to go by. I need to hear that.
Throughput. I don't remember. So what was
throughput? We got one GM who says throughput, and we got another one who takes victory laps in week three before his team gets their ass kicked, stomping and storming up the sidelines in his Armani suit and sunglasses. So we got everything going for. Like I said, go Terps.
Well, before we step out, Mike Elias was asked about process in finding a new manager.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll just talk about that topic generally. First of all, the timing, understanding the timing, the manner, the context around how Tony got that assignment. And everything that he needed to do and was in front of him to work through, we think he did a terrific job as the interim manager with that particular assignment in 2025, with where the players were, with where the organization was. I thought he added a lot of value and did a great job with that assignment. And I got the chance to work with him much more closely during this, and I'm very impressed with him as I've gotten to know him more. And I think he's a very talented guy and has a lot of skills that would add up to a great major league manager now or in the future. I've told him that we are going to utilize the opportunity of having the permanent chair vacant to talk to other people and learn and see who is available, who's interested, and figure out who the right fit is for this team for 2026. That process is going to include him, and
damn
he
right.
will be a real candidate, but I expect we are going to talk to other people, and we're initiating that process imminently.
You think they'll talk to Bob Melvin, former Orioles catcher Bob Melvin? Think they'll got released by the Giants today? You think they'll talk to him?
It'd be nice if they did.
You think they'll talk to Rocco Baldelli? Got released by the Twins today.
It'd be nice.
I think they'll talk
did.
To Derek Shelton. Got released by the Pirates. Got a background with the Rays. Actually understands player development. I think he connects to people as human beings, not just cogs. Be interested to see who they actually talk to. I would not bet against old Manzo. I think this is an inside straight.
We're going to talk to Cordell Woodland at the top of the hour, who was at that press conference at the warehouse. He was out at one winning drive at John Harbaugh's press conference at 5:15. Hope to get you a couple of cuts from Harb's earlier today, where called out Todd Monken on multiple occasions, which I thought was very interesting. But coming up next, we're going to take more of your calls, 410-583-1057. Your thoughts, state of the Orioles as we head into the offseason. Do you think it's going to be Tony Mancino to be the next manager? And if that were to happen, are you cool with it? 410-583-1057. We'll also continue to keep recapping the Ravens' latest blowout loss to the Chiefs. They lost by 17 points. 410-583-1057. We'll take your calls next on The Fan. We're going to talk to Cordell Woodland at the top of the hour. He was out at the warehouse to hear from Mike Elias and Tony Mantolino. We'll get Cordell's thoughts on that, as well as the Ravens debacle yesterday at Arrowhead. But we're talking to you right now. 410-583-1057. Andy is in Dundalk. Andy, you're on The Fan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, good, how are you?
Hanging in there.
I got a couple of comments about the Ravens and one comment about the Orioles.
Sure.
It won't be long.
All good.
The thing about the Ravens, first of all, I love John Harbaugh's comments at halftime about, you know, we need to run the ball more. They did ask him about only King Henry only touching the ball four times.
Four carries, yeah.
And, yeah, and then we got to do more, he says. And what's he do? We run the ball four times in the second half. Kind of reminiscent of Kansas City in the playoffs, yeah, a couple of years ago when we only ran the ball six times with our running backs. The timeout situation with the two, the first delay of game penalty was right after a first down. And John Harbaugh's comment to that was, well, it's a first, you know, we got to save our timeouts for the end of the half. When do we save timeouts in the first half? I mean, yeah. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to look this up and see how many times we went to the halftime with all three timeouts in check. And, you know, Harbaugh's just not a good game manager. He never has been a good game manager, and he's not a good coach. I've been saying this for a decade, since before Lamar took over, when he would have got fired if Lamar didn't save his job. But he's just never been a great coach. He might be a good coach before the game starts, but once the game starts, he's absent. I don't think he's got it in between his ears to be a good coach. The thing about the Orioles, and this is my last comment, I don't know what Mancino has to do for people to support him and just give him a chance. He was a great manager at the end of the season after he got the opportunity. He was above 500. If you take the first seven games away where they were 0-7, that little transition period, I'll call it, he was 10 games above 500 after he took the job over, not counting the first seven games. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be great. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah. This was supposed to be the put it over the top time, not that you want to talk about. You probably didn't like the Zach Orr hire, right? Like, this is the equivalent of that, except it's worse because it's running the whole team. The team, he's got a winning record because they called Rodgers up from the minors desperately and he had a 1.3 ERA. And they got Wells back and they got Bradish back and they pitched. He's supposed to be developing infielders, outfielders, and hitters, and they were an abject failure on his watch. And he's supposed to be Mr. Fundamentals, and their fundamental baseball is horse bleep. And I wouldn't let him manage my double A team. That's just me. And I've been right about this team before anybody, and I'm telling you, the fix is in. And this is a joke. And it's not about the best and the brightest, and let's get any manager we can who could put us over the top and has real ideas despite any cost. This is about doing it on the cheap and keeping it under Mike Elias's thumb. And you'll find out next year, when expectations are, like Elias is saying, to win the division, they will be fraudulent again. Maybe they'll win more games than Sacramento next year. Probably not.
Let's go back out to the phones. Chris is in Parkville. Chris, you're on The Fan.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Hey.
It was a pretty bad look, Ravens yesterday. Yeah. To me, it's I thought that this there was a chance that this could happen. There's always injuries, but the foundation of an offense is the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all these pretty pieces, all these sexy pieces, these individuals. And it's almost like building an estate or a mansion on a foundation of popsicle sticks.
I think.
You know?
Yes.
It's just, and then the defense too. I don't think they paid enough attention to the defensive line.
Nope.
But we're going to just see how good or how bad the Ravens coaches are now, because I don't think it's going to get worse, I think, before it gets better.
Thanks, Chris.
They've got major personnel issues and they're not going to be able to fix them at the trade deadline. Not all of them. You can't fix yourself in the trenches on both sides of the ball at an NFL trade deadline.
Let's go back out to the phones. Rashawn is in Baltimore. Rashawn, you were in Dallas. Are you still in Dallas?
What a tie.
Man, that was a crazy game.
Yeah,
man.
Oh,
the
yeah.
most intense, crazy game I've seen in my life, you know. And I was already heartbroken you know, watching the Ravens game prior to that, you know. So yeah. Coming to that game, I was like, hope the Cowboys can keep it respectfully. You know, just don't get blown out the building. But when we actually had the chance to win there and everybody emotions was high and everything and we fought hard and next thing you know, a tie. And I'm thinking, it's going to go to another overtime. But no, they said it was over. I'm like, what the hell type of games is this, man?
10 minutes, man.
Ties are stupid.
Right. I just spent, you know, 3.5 hours on the flight, a hotel, rental car, tickets, nice tickets, and I just go home with a damn tie.
Hey, Jerry's pockets are straight. Jerry's pockets are straight.
Yes, you were straight. All them damn Packers did to fill the building up, you know. But other than that, as far as the Ravens, though, I just don't know what to do, man. I talked to Rob and them earlier, and I was speaking on if Lamar was going to be out. Like, I haven't heard anything update on this injury. How confident are we that Cooper Rush can even come in, say, for one game? And, like, say if it's the Texans game, we got to come in. Are we able to beat the Texans with Cooper Rush, you know, at quarterback?
I think the problem is who's playing left tackle, what's going on with the guards. There's no Ricard. Is likely a glorified decoy? Like, should he even be up? I think that's the problem. Like, is Cooper Rush going to have to play from behind because the defense can't get a stop against the Texans offense that's been god awful? Like, that's, I think, you know, that's the problem.
Let's grab one more real quick. John is in Mount Washington. John, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Hey there.
Hey.
You know, it's a great show, but it's all coaching, man. This team got too much talent. You got to get rid of this guy. And I like Harbaugh, but get Ray Lewis in there, the head coach.
Man. Yeah, one last week.
Wow.
Thanks, John.
That's two votes for Ray Lewis.
Ray, back-to-back weeks. How about that? Like,
I'd have Ray as the hype guy. Like, I'd have him as the guy who hypes up the coach before then the coach speaks to the team. Like, Ray's there just to, like, monitor the sidelines. Like, what is McVay? People have the get back guy. Like, Ray could be my coach's
like
pump him
dog,
up guy.
Kinda.
Yeah, but just, like, to the hype man.
I said this last week to you, Jason, and I still stand by it. And I'm not saying the season's over. Can they still dig out of it yet? Yeah. I've always been a Harbaugh. If they finish with a losing record, I don't know how he survives this. I really don't know how he survives.
I don't think this owner has any intentions of blowing up a coaching staff and putting a new one together.
If this team, with all the hype that they got all offseason long,
what about DaCosta? What about the guy? What about
the guy? He needs
who
to wear
sat out the D tackles and doesn't want to pay for pass rush, and he's got all
blameless.
These corners and safeties. How many interceptions do they have?
He is not blameless. Coming up next, Cordell Woodland. We're going to recap the Ravens' latest loss, and also he was out at the end of season press conference for the Orioles involving Mike Elias and Tony Mancelino. Cordell joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.